a group out in California that gives a lot of census data and then their projections about a number of religious things about how you reach these people. One part is called MAP, that's Ministry Area Profile, and then a part called Compass is how you reach these people. And they have some estimates about the people of your community. Would they want traditional Christian music, contemporary, or a blend of the two? And I've done about 100 of these studies, and I think in every one of them, the blend of the two is what most of the people would want. One of the reasons some of our churches are dying is that we are saying to our young people, you sing the songs that we like, the songs of our generation. And if you don't like it, you go somewhere else. And they go somewhere else. And one of the mistakes I think they are making, sometimes they're planting churches where all they sing are these Devo songs, and they're ending up, they're building one generation churches. Several years ago, I wrote an article about the lost epistle of Diotrephes the Second. Any of you ever read that one? Okay, this was somewhere around 380. It's just a fragment. And Diotrephes the Second was railing against changes in church music. And he said, ever since the apostles fell asleep, we have sung the same chant that we always used before. And now people are coming along with three radical innovations: melody, harmony, and rhythm. And, you know, originally we just sang all in unison, and we would sing mostly on one note until we got to the end of the line. And we would sing a little more, and that was the extent of melody that we had. And now people are just wandering all over the musical scale. And they are singing what they falsely call harmony. People singing different notes. And instead of letting the words determine the rhythm, they have this drum beat like some pagan ritual. And he thought it was just terrible. I think I ended that by confessing that there really was no Diotrephes the Second. That was just my attempt at humor. Not everybody appreciates my humor. I remember one church where I preached, where the elders, one of the elders, our oldest elder, said, son, we've been getting a lot of complaints about them stories you tell in the pulpit. And I launched into an eloquent defense of humor in preaching. Finally, he said, son, it ain't humor we object to, it's them stories you tell. Yeah. Where was I going with that? Okay, my feeble attempt at humor with the lost epistle of Diotrephes the Second ended with a prediction about what's likely to happen in the year 2020. And that was that baby boomer elders, with even a few Generation X elders, would be approached by some millennial kids in the church, and they would say, we were up in the church attic and we found some boxes with some old songbooks, blue songbooks called Great Songs of the Church, and they have funny shape notes, and we don't know what those shapes are about, But we know how to read music, so, you know, we can sing them. And they have great music by Bach, Beethoven, Brahms, Handel, Mozart, poetry by people like Tennyson. And instead of singing those off-the-wall songs, we'd like to sing out of this book. And the baby boomer elders will say, sit down, shut up, don't bother anybody. We're going to keep on singing those off-the-wall songs the way we always have. And what goes around will come around. Well, there are the churches that are growing are flexible enough to adapt to generations. Yeah, if I had been a little more flexible, I would have learned to put all this stuff on PowerPoint. It reaches a younger generation better than this does. Have you ever noticed when you watch television, about every 6 seconds on the average, you're getting a cut to a different camera angle, you know, a different kind of picture? A younger generation has a shorter time span of attention. I teach preaching classes at Harding, and I tell them, fellas, if you don't strike oil in 25 minutes, you better stop boring. And I tell them sermons do not have to be eternal to be immortal. You know, we've done some scientific research on when does the high point of attention come with the typical audience today. And it's 23 minutes, 30 seconds into the average speech. Now, I think I grew up hearing people like Foy E. Wallace Jr. preach 2 solid hours and held the audience right there in the palm of his hand. I don't think anybody could do that with today's audience. You have to be able to adjust and adapt. But don't change anything that's a fundamental essential of the Christian faith. There's another thing we haven't talked about much yet. The churches that are growing are churches where the elders are not the board of directors. They are shepherds, spiritual counselors, teachers. And they have delegated day-to-day operational management to the deacons. But still, I think this is one of the things killing some of our Oklahoma churches. We have churches where elders make all of the decisions. I mean, you could not buy a box of paper clips without running it through the eldership for approval. And you take a look, those of you who are elders, take a look at how you spend your elders' meeting time. How much of that time do you spend praying? How much of that time do you spend talking about the spiritual needs of your members? How much of the time do you talk about how can we improve our outreach to the community? I have been in an awful lot of those meetings, either as a preacher or as an elder. And I know that in a lot of churches we spend most of that time talking about how to spend the money, what to do with the building, or make rules about what cannot be done in the building, or making momentous decisions like what color to paint the ladies' restroom. I urge you, delegate that to a deacon, and if the deacon has any sense, he's going to delegate that to a group of ladies and let them decide. In most of our churches, deacons don't have anything to do because the elders are doing deacons' work. They're doing day-to-day operational management. What I think they need to be doing is strategic planning. Now, elders wear 3 hats. They wear the presbyteros hat, the older men of the village, the tribe, the nation, were the leaders, the decision makers particularly, kind of an executive function. I think elders have some decisions to make. But that's not their most important job. The episkopos, bishop function, overseer, means you've delegated to somebody else and now you are mentoring them and helping them, encouraging them. But they do that work that you've delegated. And the most important word is, it's usually in the New Testament in verb form, poimeno, to shepherd the flock. And it's talking about spiritual counseling, teaching. College Church in Searcy, where my wife and I are members, we have 39 elders. And I can just imagine how horrendous the elders' meetings must be. But they've managed to get around that problem. You know why they want 39 elders? They need 39 shepherds. In fact, they need a lot more. It's a big church and needs people focused on shepherding. One of the things that's killing us in a lot of our churches, one of the reasons a lot of our ministers are leaving ministry, is that they are treated like hirelings. You know, the elders are the bosses. They control the money. They can fire the preacher. And even though the preacher is the one who has the most training in Scripture, the elders are making all the decisions, and the preachers are frustrated. I think the churches that are growing, the elders have delegated day-to-day management to deacons. They are focusing on the purpose, on strategic planning, on assessment, on how we can improve. They've kind of moved up. One of the things that has hurt some of our churches is that the elders delegated and then they made a lateral move. Instead of saying, we're going to focus on strategic planning, they said, we're still going to focus on day-to-day operational management. Deacons, here is the job you can do. But if you ever make a decision we don't like, just like that, we're going to take it back. You know, we're going to be the veto board for the deacons, still at the operational management level. Churches that are growing, the elders, their decision making is more strategic planning. Their focus is more shepherding. And they do a better job of closing the back door that you were talking about earlier. Yes?
I've appreciated where I am now, a sense of partnership. Mm-hmm. Brother Howard, I think, spoke about that in one of his classes this week.
Right.
There's so much overlap, if you look at Scripture, at what Timothy was called to do and what the elders are called to do among the flock, that why would we not see ourselves as partners rather than different levels of management or duties?
Yeah, I think the management model, the business model, is the wrong model for us to be taking. And we need to understand that the evangelists, the ministers, are partners with the elders and deacons. We have different roles, but we really need to understand that. And one of the things that the people in this missional church movement have come to is the understanding that we need to move from members to ministers. We really need to get people focused on there's a church over in Tennessee, Northwest. I forget the name of the little town. Not far from Union City, where our church has a big sign out in front. And it says, ministers. And instead of listing pulpit minister, youth minister, whatever, it says, all of the members. I would encourage you to go there and do likewise. It is now 11:30. We need to quit. And God bless you in your work for Him.